Then the girl was mine. I took her over town, I wined her and dined her. She asked me, did I like her? I said, well, kinda. All of a sudden, she jumped out of seat, snatched me up by my wrist and took me out in the street. She started grabbing all over me, kissing and hugging, so I shoved her away. I said, you better stop bugging. She got mad, looked me dead in my face, threw her hands in the air and yelled out, hey! I got scared when she started to yell, so I handed her my wallet and ran like hell. I was ducking through alleys, right and left, but when the cops caught up, they almost beat me to death. I was arrested, charged with aggravated assault. But it wasn't my fault. Well, nevertheless, don't mean to bust your bubble, but girls of the world ain't nothing but trouble. So next time a girl gives you the play, just remember my rhymes and get the hell away.
Back on the Lance J Radio Network, Sirius XM 141, sports talk and entertainment excellence. At mixed feelings about James Franklin getting fired. Obviously, Penn State, I'm an Ohio State guy, if you haven't figured that out by all of the commercials of me singing the Ohio battle cry and the clips of Paul Keel's Big Daddy calling the national championship game when the Ohio State University won their ninth title, steamrolling towards their 10th title. So I'm not rooting for Penn State. Penn State is a Big Ten rival. But something about seeing an African-American coach, James Franklin, at a huge program like Penn State, even Scum, even Sharon Moore, at Ann Arbor Community College, and also Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. So really, three of Ohio State's biggest rivalries when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to on the field with Michigan and Penn State, and they just did a back-to-back with Notre Dame the previous 2 years and played Notre Dame in the national championship. And anyone that covers the Big Ten knows that one of the reasons that Notre Dame doesn't want to be a part of the Big Ten, which it seems like ultimately they're going to have to join a conference to be guaranteed an opportunity to make the playoff. It's just going to be harder to be an independent, even with the money. It's just the way that it's structured. You're going to have all of these automatic buys that the SEC and the Big Ten want. And Notre Dame, at some point, they're probably going to have to consider it at the very least, or have some type of contract that if they win 10 games that they automatically get in. But one of the reasons that Notre Dame doesn't want in on the Big Ten, they don't want to be Ohio State's concubine for the next 25 years, and I don't blame them, because that's what happened to Penn State. Penn State was independent. Penn State was winning natties. Penn State joined the Big Ten. Penn State got their money. Now Penn State is an ATM for Ohio State. I think Ohio State's beat them like 18 out of 20. Not really competitive. But I hated to see James Franklin get whacked. I get it. I understand you. After that loss to Northwestern at home, and I know Drew Aller got injured, and I think Drew Aller is out of eligibility. And that's sad for him. A lot of people thought that Drew Aller was going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. I don't even know if he's draftable at this point. But you really seen the fans start to turn. I knew that James Franklin was probably cooked after Ohio State beat them last year in Happy Valley. And fans were booing James Franklin. I think one of them threw something at James Franklin. He was about to go up into the stands. I was just like, yeah, this guy's lost. The room is over. He's cooked. It's finished. And I don't know where Penn State is as far as, are they truly a contender from a national perspective? Or are they really what they're supposed to be? Is Penn State supposed to be an 11-12 win team perennially? Or are they supposed to win 10 games, get to the playoff, and lose in the first round? I don't know. I think Clemson is in the same boat. Dabo won some natties there, so Clemson thinks that they're a perennial contender for a natty, and you're not. Clemson is historically a 9-3 team. They're a good team. They're an exciting team. They're one of the better programs in the country. But they're not box office. Penn State is not box office. They're not Ohio State. They're not even Michigan. They're not Bama. They're not Georgia. They're not even USC. Which USC, when they have the right coach, when they have the right defensive coordinator, and the ability to recruit elite talent, especially at the quarterback and perimeter speed positions, USC, when they have the right guy at the controls, USC is always really, 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 really good. So I don't know where Penn State sits. And people forget, Penn State, you had the Jerry Sandusky stuff. And I know that was many years ago. Penn State was legitimately in the conversation for the death penalty, like SMU. As they should. You have Jerry Sandusky, someone on the coaching staff, abusing children in the locker room sexually. And he's doing life in prison. And Joe Pa was basically hiding it or turning a blind eye. And he got fired. And he went home and died a couple of days later. Penn State fans love to forget about that. Penn State fans want you to gloss over the embarrassment and the tragedy and pattern of cyclical sexual abuse and cover-up. So James Franklin coming there in that situation and restoring that program back to some level of prominence, I don't know that you can take them to the promised land. I don't know that Penn State is a program where people want to go and they're going to compete for natties perennially. And I don't think that in modern football, I know in the Joe Pa days, they were winning their national championships like 14-10. It was back before offense, before the forward pass was enacted. This is before the pistol offense. This is before people were using bubble screens. I mean, it was a different era of football. But there's a part of me that hated to see James Franklin fail as a black coach. There's not a lot of black coaches at these elite programs. And I think Sherrod Moore is on his way out too. Sherrod Moore, I tell you, Sherrod Moore next year. Now we'll see if they beat Ohio State. If he beats Ohio State, he buys himself some more time. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think that Michigan's going to get absolutely rolled by Ohio State. And that Underwood kid, he's an NFL body. He's got an NFL arm, but he's inaccurate. AF. Now he's a freshman, so you have three more years. But Sherrod Moore is 12-7 at Michigan. You cannot go 12-7 at Michigan with what Sherrod Moore inherited. They talk about Ryan Day all the time, that he was born on third base, which is true. He inherited the Ohio State University and the Enterprise. It's like driving a Lamborghini. But Sherrod Moore inherited a national championship winner. I know that they lost a bunch of people to the NFL, but that program was hitting the crescendo. And they can't go back to being an 8-4 team every year. That will not be acceptable at Ann Arbor Community College. If I'm Penn State, I give Coach Cignetti at Indiana whatever he wants. But that's the thing about Penn State where I'm very curious. in this modern era of NIL, you gotta pay to play. And I don't know that Penn State, it's just like Michigan. Michigan has a great med school. Michigan's an academic school. Notre Dame is an academic school. There are limitations. You're going to have boosters. You're going to have money. We know that Michigan and Notre Dame and Penn State, if they want to pony up $30, $40 million for their roster, they can. But I don't know if that's in their culture, if that's in their DNA. It's in Ohio State's culture. Those are better schools than Ohio State. It's in Texas's culture. Texas got that oil money. Now you see Texas Tech. Got that oil money. Oregon has that Nike money. But the true question is, whoever replaces Coach Franklin, is Penn State willing to get into the NIL and pony up $30, $40 million a year to build an elite roster? Are they willing to take that kid that plays, that's from D.C. or New York City or Philly or Pittsburgh or Syracuse, that would have gone to Ohio State? Because Ohio State has more swag, more drip, more cachet. Are they willing to pay up to get that elite wide receiver? To get the Jeremiah Smiths of the world? Are you willing to fork over $4 million to get a guy like that to come to you who's a difference maker in winning national championships or losing in the second round of the playoffs? I don't know. Paragon 7 Studios.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lance J Radio Network. James Lewis.
Drive on down the field in a scarlet and gray. Don't let them through the line. Got to win today. Ohio, smash through to victory. Cheer you as you go. Our honor to defend will fight to the end for Ohio. Let's go! Bars!
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
If you see someone overdosing from drugs or alcohol, don't run. Call 911. Maryland's Good Samaritan law protects you. You cannot be legally arrested, charged, or prosecuted for using drugs or for simple possession. The person overdosing is protected too. If you see the emergency and choose not to help, the law won't protect you. Be a Good Samaritan. Call 911, stay and help. Learn more at stopoverdose.maryland.gov.
Sirius XM 141 HUR Voices is now airing both the Rubicon, our healthcare franchise, and the Lance J Radio Network, our sports and entertainment show hosted by yours truly, James Lewis. If you missed the live broadcast, you can always find us on Lance J Plus, where we podcast each segment of both shows.
When you feel invisible, exhausted, stressed, or anxious, when you have days that just feel too hard to get through, you are not alone. If you or someone you love is struggling with mental health or problems with drugs or alcohol, help is right in your hands. Call or text 988 to connect with a National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline specialist and get support whenever you need it. Help is here. Call or text 988.
I ain't snitching on nobody from Harlem, man. I give you a couple cats down in D.C. doing their thing, out of town doing their thing, but I'm not snitching on nobody in Harlem because when I come home, I'm still going to be the king.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
We began searching for ways to not only feed, not only bridge the access to food, but how can we fight disease? Quite naturally, that required, it was a must that we figure out how to get fresh produce, crisp greens, leafy greens, and fruits and herbs and vegetables directly to the front door of those families that needed it the most. And so we finally come out with a solution, and we call that Full Cart Fresh. We have teamed up with some of the greatest people in America our American farmers. And through working with a collaborative of farmers across multiple states, we have created Full Cart Fresh. So imagine this, you're at a farm, the produce is picked and prepared, and it's boxed in a Full Cart Fresh box at the farm. And then through our shipping and logistics program, we ship directly from the farm, directly to the front door of the most vulnerable families in America. We have got families and seniors and children around the country who are hungry, and as well as hungry, are really managing and coping with serious illnesses and diseases. So come along, help us. Help feeding children everywhere through our Full Cart program and the launch of our new Full Cart Fresh. Help those families in need.